Boker Tov world. Today's daf in Masechet Ketuvot, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, is daf Lamed Aleph, and we're holding right at the bottom line. So, speaking of bottom lines, what is the issue that we're discussing here? So remember, we had the question of how far to take Rabbi Nechunya ben Hakana, because it would depend. Rabbi Nechunya ben Hakana said that the din of Kamlei ben Rabamine applies not only to dinim in Besdin, to a din Misa in Besdin, but even to a din of Karet. And we had a machlokas what the mocker was. Was it because of Loya Ason? If it's because of Loya Ason, so then it would mean any type of Ason, which would include Mitabi De Shamay. If, on the other hand, we learned it out from not the connection of Ason to Ason, but rather we learn it out from the Pasuk in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu says Beferish, that if the Amei Haaretz are not going to carry out the Din Misa, so then I'm going to take care of this guy. And that means, how am I going to take care of him? V'nichrati. So it means Dafka, the Kores Shali would be connected to Misa Shalachem. But Stam, any other event, would not be connected. In other words, Mitabi De Shamayim would not be sufficient to say, Komle B'Rabimine, to patu you from Tashlumim. So we were looking for, where's the practical difference between that? And we spoke about a case of Achilat Truma. We're over there, Achilat Truma by a Zar is considered to be a Chiev of Misa B'Dei Shamayim. So it's still correct. We ran into a problem because we couldn't figure out how do we get a case where the chiyav actually is simultaneous, because we don't say kom le unless it's the same act that creates the chiyav of the misa and that creates the chiyav of the tashlum. And we were trying to figure out, like, what would be the case, because the moment that he picks it up or the moment that he starts chewing it or whatever the different cases we had, it's not going to help, because you'll be chayav right then, eat at least for the nezek of the truma. The chiyav is not until there's an actual swallowing of truma. So we weren't able to satisfy all the requirements. Came up with a few ideas yesterday. Today, Rav Ashi has a very simple explanation. He said this whole question was based on a prejudice. The prejudice was that you thought that when we were looking for the difference, legabe truma of the chiyav misa, it had to do with stealing the truma, and you couldn't figure out, how could you steal the truma and be chayav of the misa for achila zar of truma at the same moment? That wasn't the issue at all. You were the ones who made that up for yourself. We could be talking about, says Rav Ashi, where the guy ate his own truma. Look, Yisroel can own truma very easily. I mean, he has a maternal grandfather that he inherited. It was a Kohen. I mean, it doesn't mean that he's a Kohen. And therefore, that truma, of course he's not going to be chayav tashlumin on. It's his own truma. But he is chayav misa if he eats it, because, of course, that's a din in the truma and not in the ownership. Therefore, says Rav Ashi, why don't we keep it simple? We're talking about a case where a czar eats his own truma. So, Bazar Shachal Truma Mishalo, and simultaneously with his eating the Truma, he was also Kora Shiroyin Shalchavero. He tore at the same time the expensive clothing of somebody else. Now, the idea over here is, according to Rashi, Tosfos comes up with a lot of discussions about this question, which I think is really not for us now. And that's the question of if the Mitah and the Tashlumim are unrelated, because over here there's two completely different acts, right? He's doing one thing as he's chewing truma. They're not necessarily interrelated. He happens to be damaging another person at the same moment as swallowing the truma. So that is a big machlokas, because Misa Lezeh v'Tashlumin Lezeh, according to Rava, is not chayev. And so Rashi has to say that, well, apparently Rav Ashi doesn't agree with that, and he holds that Misa Lezeh v'Tashlumin Lezeh is still potter because of Kamlei B'Rabamine, and that would explain, actually, why it is that we got so confused, because we took for granted that the only possible case would be when it goes to the same mice and the same person. Masha Inkein, Rav Ashi, who says, well, that was a mistake, so he has an easy explanation. He doesn't have to be talking about Mashkin, he doesn't have to be talking about a case with Tochav Lo Chavero, Betoch Grono, and so on and so forth, so that removes all of the problems. Now, Tosis has a totally different approach, where he works it out in very complex ways, analyzing what really the whole din is of Yisrael Zevet Tashlum and Zeh, which, as I say, I think goes beyond the direct implications of sugya for us, because we're not really dealing fundamentally here with the idea of Karmelei Ben Rab, I mean, in all of its manifestations. So we can leave the Tosfos, take the simple pshat according to Rashi, and move on. However, remember that Ketubot is called Shas Katan for a good reason. Many of the primary sugyas in Shas that are found all over are found in Ketuvot, and there's many rayas that we can bring from Ketuvot to other places. So as we proceed, remember that the sugya of Kamle B'Rav Amine of Tashmisa Lezuv Tashlumim Lezeh, which, please, Gavi, your missing Chavrusa needs to make a flashcard about. This is getting out of hand already. Maybe we should make you the Achroi on it, and that's all. I should stop even mentioning the Chavrusa. You know, I see already two people that you're the responsible party for. I don't know whether that means that we also have to blame you for they're not showing up. That's a different issue. Okay, but at least keep a track, please, of this idea. So we have Mitala Zevetashlomim Lezet. Anyway, so according to Rav Ashi, we have a simple explanation. Anyway, fine. So that wraps up the approaches, of the application of the idea of Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana. But let's go back to the Ikar Yisod of Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana. Gufa. Omer of Chista, remember the way this whole thing began, which was that Moda Rabbi Nechunya ben Akana, Begonev chalbo shel chaveiro ve'achalo shehu chayav, shekvar nitchayev b'gneiva, kodem sheyavo lidei Yisr chelek. So Rav Chista pointed out that obviously it has to be simultaneously. There's no din in which a split second before somebody does an Isr Misa, he was Mishayev Tashlumin, that it's not going to be called a chiev. He'd be made as somebody steals, picks up somebody's chela from his kitchen and eats it. The moment that he picked it up, he was already chayev in the geneva. He eats it as a separate activity. It has nothing to do with the geneva. That's what we said. Now, the question is, does everybody really agree to that? Because it seems that Rav Chista is arguing with Rabavi. Lema pliga de Rabavi. Because remember, as we've had numerous times, according to Rabbi Avin, if somebody shoots a bullet, and he began with Tchilat Arba in Rishut HaRabim. Well, bullets normally go a lot further than Arba Amos, right? So then this would be carrying Arba Amos in Rishut HaRabim. I shouldn't really say shooting a bullet because that actually gets us confused with the question of whether the pulling of a trigger, which causes the powder to explode and so on, that whether that's considered to be only that it's not a direct kaychai, maybe it's kayach kaychai, so let's avoid the bullet. Okay, I take it back. He shoots an arrow. So in shooting the arrow, we have a direct application of the energy that's pent up in the string of the arrow. That's called beferish, that the Gemara discusses. That pent up energy that is released is considered to be your own koach. That was the famous case where we have water that's pent up energy. It's now potential energy. It's in a dam. You release that water. It's considered to be your kayak. And if that water hits somebody directly, not that it drowns him somehow downstream, but it hits him directly, then it's considered to be your throwing the water at him. That's a very, very fundamental idea that the release of potential energy is considered to be the actual inputting of that energy. So that's called kocho. So the guy over here shoots an arrow. The arrow goes mitchilat arba lesof arba in Rishut HaRabim, and along the way, it hits somebody's clothes and it tears his clothes while it goes and kills someone, you know. No, doesn't have to kill someone. It just has to travel because we're talking about Shabbos over here. So therefore, our issue is that he says that you're potter and lechora. That seems to be not like we just said, right? I mean, why is he potter? Doesn't have to be at the same time. Yes, says Rabbi Avin, it does have to be at the same time, and it is. How is that? It hasn't reached the end of Arba Amos while it's still traveling, has it? I'll explain it to you, says Rabbi Avin. That's because Akira Tzorech Hanachahi. Remember that what defines the concept of Hotzah? Not simply the movement of something across Arba Amot, but rather lifting it up out of its place, carrying it, and then setting it down again. You'll remember all of this from Shabbat, right? So Hotza'ah is really comprised of separate things. All of those things are part of one act of Hotza'ah. Therefore, Taina's Rabbi Yovan, since it's all part of the Hotza'ah, so therefore it's considered to be the same Maisa, and the actual tearing of the guy's clothing, even though it hadn't yet done the Hanacha, but when I picked it up, threw the arrow, so to speak, shot the arrow, that already included the Hanacha to come, the tearing in the middle, because it's all started with the picking up at the beginning, which is the release of the arrow. So why wouldn't we say, according to Rav Avin, the same thing is true over here? I pick up the person's chelev from his kitchen counter, and I pick it up in order to put it in my mouth. But that picking up is part of the act of achila, isn't it? Ah, come on, says the Gemara. What are you, that's such an unsophisticated question. I mean, obviously, the idea of Hakira and Hanocha in Hotza'ah is definitive. And over here, it's completely coincidental. I wouldn't mean I need to pick it up in order to eat it. First of all, who says you need to pick it up in order to eat it? You know, I mean, there's always slobbish ways to eat things. You know, go, rah, 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 eat it up without picking it up. So, I mean, I don't get what you're saying. The definition of the malacha is Akira and Hanocha. I mean, over here, I mean, theoretically, boy, gochin v'achil, right? Fine. So that would be, according to Moshe Shon, the point is not that he literally did the gochin v'achil, but since it's possible, therefore it's not part of the actual act. That's all. Also, there's another very obvious difference, you know? That is, you can't call one act an act where it's possible to end at any point. So instead, when you shoot an arrow, what exactly are you going to do to unshoot the arrow? We've got this entropy problem, and it always turns out to go in one direction. That's why we call it the arrow of time. And when it comes to picking up things and eating them, you know, as you look down at your extended belly, you might decide not to. So you could always change your mind and therefore stop the picking up in the middle. So how can you call it all one act? There's a big difference between them, no? Over there, if you want to pull the arrow backwards, lo matzi aduripe mashenkin, over here, if you want to actually let the chalev go and not eat it, you could. Matzi mahadale. Is there a difference between the two answers? Of course, there's a major difference between them. Let's imagine a case where instead of shooting the arrow, you carry it. So now you're carrying an arrow, mitchilas arba, atzof arba. You could stop at any point, which is similar to setting the food down in the case of the achila. So over there, if you're mavir sakin b'shut rabim v'kora shiroin b'halichato, so according to the lashon that we said that it's all definitive. And Iev Shar Lakira Belohanachan, that doesn't change anything. He would still be Potter. Because the definition of the Hotza'ah is Akira Vahanacha. So here too, Hachanami Iev Shar Lahanacha Belohakira. Masha'enke Lahach Lishna Damrit Lomotzi Mahadarpe. If the entire point of the difference between the case of the Korashiroi and the case of the stealing the Chelev and the eating is because you can't stop the arrow once it's released, but in this case, you're carrying it. So, there's this tremendous difference between the two cases. Gufa. Omer Rabbi Yovin. Let's just think about Rabbi Yovin for a moment. Rabbi Yovin said that certainly if you're Zorik Achetz Bitchilat Arba L'Sof Arba V'Kore Shiroim Ba'alichato, so over there, you would be Potter. And the reason you would be potter is because Akira is considered to be Tzorach Hanocha. So Rav Bivi Bar Abaye had a problem from a Braita against that Sfora. Hagonev Kis B'Shabbat. Again, these are sugyas that we discussed at length in various places before. So when we spoke about this case, I'm sure you'll remember, somebody steals a guy's wallet on Shabbos. So and he then carries it from somebody's house, and he walks out with it into Rosh Hashanah. So over there, he would be chayev, even though he was chayev misa for carrying on Shabbos. Why? Shekvar nitchayev b'gneva kodem sheyavo lidei yisir skila. The moment that he picked it up, he already was chayev for stealing. And now he is going to be chayef for Shabbos only when he actually walks out into Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. And therefore, it doesn't come simultaneously. On the other hand, suppose he was megarer v'yotzei, suppose he ties a string to this money, and he carries it out, dragging it along the ground, so that he never actually lifted it. So there was no hagbah to be kainan. Over there, the kinyan comes when he takes it out into Rishus HaRabin, because then he's doing a Meshicha into another Rishus, and at that point, it becomes his. So in that case, there would be actually Isser Shabbat, V'Isser Gneva Boin Kechad, and we would apply the din of Kamlai Ben Rabimine. Now, back to that case where you pick it up and carry it out. I understand that theoretically, yes, he was chayev at that moment, and he wasn't chayev for Shabbos until later, but I thought Rabavin said that you're chayev because, in other words, you're chayev and therefore potter because of Kimle ben Rabimine, because the chayev of Shabbat is one long act of Akira and Hanacha. So if you're telling me that when I picked it up, I didn't yet do the Chilul Shabbos, excuse me? According to Rabavin, you've already begun the Chilul Shabbos. You were Oiker. That Akira was the Kinyan, but that Akira was also the beginning of the Chilul Shabbos. And Rabavin said, that is considered to be one long Maisa. Now, that seems to me that this is completely the opposite of Rabavin said. Because Begarer V'yotzei and the picking up basically should be the same, according to the way that Rabavin understood it. So am I? Shouldn't we say the same thing that we said there? Says the Gemara, no, because you know what it might be talking about? It might be talking about here that originally when you lifted it up, that was the first case. When you lifted it up, your intent was not to carry it out into Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Actually, your intent was you were going to hide it and you were going to come back at night and dig it up so nobody saw you taking it up, right? So basically, you hit it somewhere, and then you realize, no, I don't know, I might get into even more trouble if I break in at night. I better just take it out now. So you change your mind. So kigon shigbio amanat latznio. So initially, you lifted it up, and that picking up was not a part of the act of hotzah, because when you picked it up, it wasn't in order to do the hotzah yet, but you did pick it up to be koneh. So over there, you were koneh before you did the hotzah. But enochinami, according to Rabavin, if you actually had picked it up as part of the etzem hotzah, it would be a classic case of kamlei ben Rabimineh, right? So, kigon shigbio amanat latznio v'nimel chalav v'hotzio. Wait a minute. No. Absolutely not. If you picked it up not in order to take it out, you wouldn't be chayev on Shabbos either. So then it would have nothing to do with kamlei ben Rabimineh, because the din is, unless your initial picking up was for the purpose of the hotzah that's actually done, then you don't have someone who was mechaven to hotzah from beginning to end, and then you would be potter. So the whole case would break down. V'chihai gav the michayev, you wouldn't even be chayev on the Chilul Shabbos. The Amar Rabbi Simon, Amar Rabami, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, somebody who just wants to like move the furniture around a little and see what the couch would look like if it would be on that side of the room, you know. So he picks it up in order to move it to the other side of the room. He's mefanech hafetzim, mizavit zavit. And then he says, wait a minute, let's get a little bit of room here and start from the beginning. And he carries the couch outside. Oh my God, that was a Chilul Shabbos. Fine. So what would be the din over there? It wouldn't be a Chilul Shabbos. Ha ha. Why? Because when he picked up the couch, he had no intention of taking it out. So there was no, therefore, Akira for the purposes of Chilul Shabbos.
Sometimes Rebbe picks up the bottle without the intention of putting it in. Rebbe puts it back down. This wasn't Akira Litzarech enough.
That's because Gavi is an inspiration. The joy that he has of drinking his boost would serve as an advertisement that would be worth millions. I think you should actually try selling them one of these Daf Yomi videos. There he is putting in his boost, and a smile appears. There we go.
Gavi, the rabbis of Keren Yeshiva all got into a car, and they got cars cheaper. It was an ad for the cars because these rabbis couldn't even already know some experience. Never.
How many rabbis can you fit into a phone booth? And those were the days. But Barnea's idea of how many goldfish can the rabbi swallow, that did not go over. I'm going to tell you right now. Anyway, so the question over here is, the whole thing doesn't make sense, because if you're telling me he picked it up with an intention to hide it or not to be motzi, so then the whole thing falls apart, because then he's a nimlach, and a nimlach is never chayev. He's potter. The akira has to be amenat lotzi in order to be part of the mice of hotza. So therefore, that can't be the case. Okay. I'm sorry. Man, I can't get away with nothing here. Okay, so you're right. I didn't mean that. Lotema amenat latznio. It's not that he lifted it up in order to hide it. Ela'ema amenat lahotzio. It was. Indeed, initially, he did want to take it out, but you know what it's talking about over here? He stopped. Kishamat. He stopped. And that stopping was the end of that mice. And now when he starts walking again, that's considered to be a new otsa. And therefore, the original picking up was not a chilul Shabbos, because it wasn't part of the chilul Shabbos, but it was a kinyan legabe, the kinyan of the chefetz, and therefore he's chayav. Wait, what do you mean he stopped? Why did he stop? Amad for what? Lamai. I mean, why did he stop? Lechatev? To, like, fix it on his shoulder because his backpack was a little loose? I mean, that's not considered to be stopping. That's considered to be the normal way of walking. Urcheu. People stop for a moment to adjust something while they walk, and that's not called a separate hanacha. No, it must be that he was stopping. Ba'omed lefush. He wanted to rest for a second. He got a little bit tired. So he stops, takes a couple of breaths. And then he has a little bit of booze to be mischazik with one of these boost advertisement photos. And then he goes on. So that would be a separate act. Says the Gemara, but if that's the case, so then what would have been the din if he had stopped only to adjust his backpack? Right? So what would be the din over there? My, obviously what you're saying is, well, in that case, of course, he would be putter, because then it would be kabbalei ben rabba minek. So then I don't understand the whole case. You change in the middle, you say, but if he was dragging it along the ground, what do you have to say? But if he was dragging it along the ground, you should say, Bamed Varim Amurim, that he would be potter, is if he was, that he would be Omed Lefush. But if he was Omed for the idea of Lekatev, then he would be potter. So that's what you should have said. You could have made the difference in the very same case. When do we say that he's chayev? If he lifted up the money inside and then he stops, which is the way you're explaining it, that's only if he stopped for a real reason to catch his breath and he wants to rest for a minute. But to adjust his backpack, he would be potter, because that's considered to be the derech of halicha. The point of introducing like a new issue, Megara v'yotze, why are we talking about a completely different way of doing it? You should have just talked about the way in which he was walking. So doesn't make sense that it was so simple to have a case that would have served as a foil to the original case. We always look for a foil case where there's the tiniest distinction between the two cases. So this is the smallest distinction. All right. Let's try again. Suppose you're walking, and this is a case of actually that appears in Shabbos, according to Ben Azai, and you're going through between the Rishus HaYochid and the Rishus HaRabim. You very often have a Mokum Patur, right? Sometimes you have a small staircase, or you're going through Tzidei Rishus HaRabim in cases where it doesn't have a din of Rishus HaRabim, has a din of a Mokum Patur or a Carmelis. So you didn't stop. You kept walking. So then since you walked through a Mokum Patur directly into Rishus HaYochid, you'd be chayev. But Ben Azai says, walking is actually considered to be separate acts. Each time you lift your foot, you're doing a new akira. Each time you put down your foot, you're doing a new hanocha. And therefore, if you walk through a mokum tur, then you set it down in a mokum tur. Now, when you lifted up your foot to go into Rishus HaRabim, you never did any yisr, according to Ben Azai. And therefore, there would be a complete, even a heter. I mean, theoretically, if you literally had stopped and then had changed your mind, though, okay, you shouldn't do a lechatila. But he holds that mahalak is ka'imei dami. Then when you're walking, it's as if you're standing. As a matter of fact, the Yerushalmi brings, as Tosis points out over here, the obvious kasha, according to that, how is the Torah ever b'chayiv somebody who walks from the beginning of Arba Amis to the end of Arba Amis in Rishon Sarabim if he's taking separate steps? Each one of them is pokus me Arba Amis. You should always be potter, according to Ben Azai. And the Yerushalmi comes up with the answer is that it would only apply when he jumps. Okay, so he'd have to jump mitchilat Arba at sof Arba carrying something. Now, I mean, okay, the as Tosa Springs, that's the Yerushalmi. I mean, the Bavli says that's good for the Gzeres HaKosim, it's Abad Sofar, which wouldn't apply here. But okay, I mean, you see that it literally means this. So that's what it's talking about. Apparently, the Brice is going Alibid Ben Hazai, and that's why it says that there wouldn't be any Chiyav unless you were Megar V'yotze. Well, hold on a minute, hold on. So now you're telling me that actually, if he had thrown it, so then there wouldn't have been obviously separate akiras v'anochet. He threw it, so that's one act of zrika. So over there, he would have been chayav, right? It's only potter because of ben azar. So then, for heaven's sakes, there's your foil case. Avol zorek mai potter. So then, why not use that as the case instead of talking about the difference between picking it up and dragging it as the other case? You could say the difference is in how it is that you got it out. Did you throw it or did you walk it? That's all you need to say. You don't have to put up this crazy case where you're dragging along the ground. So, niflag v'nisne bedida, you should have just said, Bamed dvorim amurim, when do we say that you're chayev because you picked it up before and you were mechayev at that moment in the Geneva? That's only when you were talking about Mahalayach, because according to Ben Hazai, you did separate acts of Akira Vanocha. But if at that moment you picked up and threw it, so then you would be potter because it came a little bit of Rabamine. So this work doesn't work either. No, it does work. You're right. It could have used that case. Okay, so we have two possible foil cases. One case would be the difference between Zrika and Halicha, and the other one would be the case of Megara. That means that it's a toss-up. In other words, the question is, what would the Tana more want to teach us? That's the question. And if I can tell you that he would rather take a foil case of Megara V'yotzi because it's a bigger Chiddush, so then you can ask the question. I feel that Megara V'yotzi is a bigger Chiddush. That's why the Tana said it. In what sense? Because Salka Daitach Amina, Ein Derech Hotza'a B'kach. I mean, who ever heard of such a thing? What are we talking about, B'chlal? You put a string onto a wallet and you're dragging the wallet around the ground? I mean, maybe you built a little like child's carrying thing with it, with toy wheels on it. And I mean, like, what kind of crazy case is this? So you might think that you wouldn't even be chayiv because it's Ein Derech Hotza'a B'kach. Salka Daitach Amina, Ein Derech Hotza'a B'kach. Kamash Malan, that it is. But what is that supposed to mean, Kamash Malan, that it is? Are you changing reality? Either it is or it isn't. I mean, I don't understand what you're saying. Well, what's the case? The case is that what? The money was inside a giant bag of concrete? Okay, then obviously it's the Derech to be Megara, right? Though, I mean, if you're talking about what? A rollaway carry-on suitcase? Yes. I agree. I don't even need the Tana, believe it or not, to teach me that a carry-on is draggable. Thank you very much. So that would be pshita. Not much of a skittish over there, sir. That's urche. Okay, if you're talking about what? I stole his wallet? That's the case? And I put little wheels on the wallet? I mean, then it's not urche. I don't care what he says. I don't believe it. Of course it's not chayev in that case, and you're not chayev an otza if you do things in a crazy way. Well, we're talking about b'mitzei. We're talking about it wasn't his wallet. It was your wife's purse. Now, that wife's purse may have the kitchen sink in it. But the bottom line is that you can't say it's unheard of to drag the purse. I mean, if she ever asks you to carry the purse, you certainly would prefer to drag it, right? So that's the case over here. So the Tana is saying that is considered to be some in the middle. It's still enough to be considered to be a derech hotzah. Okay, but now let me understand exactly what happened over here. Where exactly did he drag it out to? Because we're trying to find a case, remember, where it comes simultaneously, right? Okay, so then that means that I have to understand at what point a Mashiach, there's no Agbar here, at what point is the Mashiach a Kena? That's the question. If he takes it out into Rosh Sarabim, so then there may be an Isser Shabbos, yes, but there still was no Geneva, because you cannot do Mashiach in Rosh Sarabim. You could do Hagbah in Rosh Sarabim, because you're taking it into your own hand, so to speak. That's Rishus, your Rishus. You can't be Kona with a Mashiach, the way the Gemara holds here. You can't be Kona Mashiach when you're taking it into Rishus. It isn't yours. How does that show that you're bringing it to yourself? So that's not a Kenyan. And if he took it out into his own, let's say he was a neighbor, and he takes it out into his own yard, so he goes through the neighbor's yard and walks into his own yard, then there's no chiyuv of Shabbos, because it's from one Rishus HaYochid to another Rishus HaYochid. I mean, the worst possible thing would be they didn't have an Erev between them, so it's an Issur Rabbanan, I mean, but there's certainly no chiyuv of Shabbos. So then that can't be the case either, because then Issur Gneva Ika, yes, you were Konan at that point, but where did you do a Chilul Shabbos? Issur Shabbat Leka. Well, we'll have to say that he took it into Tzidei Rishus HaRabim. So Tzidei Rishus HaRabim, and I've pointed out to you that we have an excellent example of Tzidei Rishus HaRabim in the Rova, because the street that goes to the Rova has a classic Tzidei Rishus HaRabim, which is difficult to find nowadays, because the normal idea of a lifted surface in which the tzadim are created by consent rather than an actual obstacle, depending on the height, obviously. That's the standard today. But there is no sidewalk. And the Tzidei Rishus HaRabim is protected only by poles that are put there to prevent the traffic from completely smashing the people that are walking there. So it only breaks a leg or an arm here and there. But the idea of completely crushing you against the wall, there's always room to jump up and hold on to something. So anyway, that's called Tzidei Rishus HaRabim, right? And Rashi actually describes it that way. So the Tzidei Rishus HaRabim actually has a halacha that it's considered to be enough of a kinyan, as we'll see. And who is it going according to? I mean, because there's big machlokas about what the din is. Legabe Tzidei Rishus HaRabim. So I'm not quite sure I understand. I mean, are we going according to Reb Eliezer? Reb Eliezer holds Tzidei Rishus HaRabim is Rishus HaRabim? Okay. So if it's Rishus HaRabim, so then yes, you did a Chilul Shabbos. But if he holds it's Rishus HaRabim, then there was no Geneva. But it's the same problem. Because how is it considered to be a Kinyan by dragging something into a Rishus that's not yours? And if you go according to the Rabbanan, who holds that Tzidei Rishus HaRabim is not Rishus HaRabim, we're back to the same problem. Yes, you did a Mashiach, but you didn't do a Chilul Shabbos, because you didn't really put it into Rishus HaRabim. No, says the Gemara, the truth is the bright is going on Libra Reb Eliezer, and Tzidei Rishus HaRabim has a din of Rishus HaRabim, but you're a little naive in what you think Reb Eliezer means. Because Ki Amar Reb Eliezer Tzidei Rishus HaRabim Dami, he was defining the Rishus in very gross ways, in terms of the Dinim of Shabbos. So in terms of the Dinim of Shabbos, the Hishtamshut of the area by the Rabim that would actually move in to the Tzidei Rishus HaRabim from Rishus HaRabim and spill over into Rishus HaRabim, into the Tzidei. So there he says that gives it to the Rishus HaRabim. Why? Because Zimnin the Dach Yerabim Vaile Lahatav. If there's a lot of traffic, so then people are pushed aside, they move into the Tzadim. But that is not the way in which we define a Rishus Lagabe Shabbos in terms of its usability by the Rabbim is irrelevant to the question of Kinyonim, because Kinyonim are defined by the standard situation, not by the possible usage. And therefore, Le'inyan Mikneh, he's made it that you could be Kona if you do Mashiach into Tzidei Rishus HaRabim. Why? Dolo Shichei Rabim. The only reason that the Rishus HaRabim is not good for Mashiach is because the constant presence of other people walking along it. So it's a contradiction to your assertion that this shows that it's mine. Masha Inkin, when something is dragged into Tzidei Rishus HaRabim, it makes a heck of a lot of sense that it's yours. People always put their own things down in the Tzidei Rishus HaRabim for a moment so it shouldn't get run over or whatever, like we've had many cases. And therefore, it's not a contradiction to say that vis-a-vis Shabbat, it's considered to be a Rishus HaRabim, and vis-a-vis Kinyanim, it's not. And that explains the case very simply. Now, this was a little bit complex, you must admit. So Rav Ashi says, listen, you know, I don't have to get into all of this stuff. I have a simpler explanation. It could be talking about where you actually did bring it into a regular Rishus HaRabim. So then you said, so where exactly is the Kinyan? This is how Rashi understands the Gemara, and it is very problematic, as you'll see yourself. It's talking about over here that with one hand, you're dragging the wallet into the Rishus HaRabim, and your other hand, you put down within Shloshet Tfachim from the Rishus HaRabim and pull it out of the Rishus HaYochid directly into your hand. And why is that a Kinyan? Because, remember Rava. Rava says that even though normally Lagabi, the Dinim of Shabbos, you need to have a Mokum Chashuv. And what is a Mokum Chashuv? Is Arba'a al Arba'a Tvachim. And that if it's less than that, it's not considered to be a Hanacha. But Yodo Shel Adam. And this was in the first Mishnah in Shabbat. Remember the question, Mi Yodo Shel Balabayit, the Yodo Shel Ani, all of those cases. That Yodo Shel Adam is Noch Nechshav. In his eyes, it's Chashuv like Arba'a al Arba'a. Now, the obvious question is, yeah, so? We never had a problem about how you would be chayiv about Shabbos. What do you bring me Rava with Shabbos? Who the heck cares? What possible connection is there between the chashivas of a mokum in terms of needing a mokum for the idea of Akira or Hanocha and the din of Kinyan? I don't understand what you're talking about. I mean, you're bringing up two things that are totally unrelated. And this, of course, is what Tosis screams at Rashi. How in the world could you compare these halachas with some type of issue of arba al arba for kinyanim? So because Rava holds his makom, the yad constitutes a separate makom vis-a-vis the dinim of Shabbos, therefore it would be considered to be a separate makom, and it's in your own rishus in terms of the kinyan because it's not really in the rishus harabi, even though it's betok shlosh shetvachim of the ground. And why would we say a crazy case like that? Why not say that the yad is here the higher? And that it went directly into his hands. It was kona with the normal Kinyan. I'm like, where did all of this come from? Why would Rashi say within Shlosh HaTvav? This, of course, is a very significant sugya. Again, it's more related to the dinim of Kinyan or the dinim of Shabbos. And therefore, it's not really our primary concern. But just be aware of the fact that there are those who learn. Actually, one of the Girsos of Tosis takes out the whole bit. Instead of saying Kidarova that Yodo Shel Adam Chashiv Lakarba, it's referring to a different Rava completely and just says Kidarova. It doesn't even bring this part. So this is a pretty wild, minakatseh, alakatseh, machlokas rishoni. Okay. So therefore, we have this second approach of Rava Ashi. Now there's other approaches. Take a look at Rava Acha. Rava Acha says that he says the same thing as Rava Ashi, except what Ravina says. The Yolam Da'avke Lushat HaRabim, yes, it's true. He went directly into Rishus HaRabim, but what's the big deal? That itself is considered to be Mashiach because the Braita holds that Rishus HaRabim Namikana and that Mashiach into Rishus HaRabim, the act of Mashiach, is considered to be a Kinyan. It's true, as Tosis points out, that we've got all of these cases that show that it's not a Kinyan. In terms of the whole story of Bab Metzia, where somebody takes a Metzia, is he considered to be Kainet under those circumstances? But that's Legabe Akinian, where we're dealing with two people that are trying to be Kainet, an object that has to do with Masa Vemata. But when you're talking about Geneva and the Chiev of Agana for Geneva, that's not the same requirements that we have for normal Kinyanim. And there it's enough to be considered. Look, I took it out of the guy's Rishus and I'm dragging it. That's it. So at that point, I'm a Ganav. That's perfectly understandable that vis-a-vis Geneva, you should be chayiv ba'onasin at that moment. But that would be in a completely different approach. Now, this question about whether Mashiach is considered to be a Kinyan in a Rishus HaRabim or not, that is both approaches. In other words, Rav Acha, on the one hand, who refused to say that, and he could only come up with the idea of putting your hand down, and Ravina, who says, you don't need a hand down. It's actually, by just pulling it into Rishus HaRabim, you'd be chayav on the Geneva. What are they arguing about? Tarvayu b'diyuka d'homas nisa. I'm going to tell you a Mishnah. You'll see, you read this Mishnah, and you will see that there's two ways of learning the implications, la halacha, of this Mishnah, okay? The question is like this. The Tanan. Hayam Moshcho, the Yotzei, Umet Rishut HaBali. Now here we're talking about someone is stealing an animal. So he's dragging this animal along. So it says over here, what happens if the animal dies? This is the story of Bava Kamma. The animal dies with the nones. It's died at that point. And it does this. This happens very often for car thieves. You know, the car dies in the middle and then it gets caught. And then, you know, the question is, it's not my fault the car died. So, okay. So now the issue over there was the animal died. So if it died while it was still in the riches of the Baalim, he's potter. But if he lifted it up, if he was Magbiat, he picked up the animal while it was still in the riches of Baalim, so Hagbah is Kainet. Or if he actually, now this is very interesting. If he took it out of the Rishus Baalim, that's all it says. Osho Tzio, Mirishud Baalim. So then it would be a Meshicha. And then the animal died, then he would be Chayev. Okay. Clearly that shows that the Meshicha would be Kaina. So now the question is, how do we understand this? Where? What? Ravina was Medayik from the opening idea about picking it up, and Rav Acha was Medayik from the later part of the Mishnah about dragging it. Let me explain to you. Ravina was Medayik from the Reisha. What did the Reisha say? A guy is dragging it, and it dies. If it's Brishus Baalim, it's Potter. Aha, okay. Just take that. Just stop right here. What is the Mishnah saying? It's only because the animal is still in the Rishus of the Baalim, and therefore, you're potter. Suppose it's not in the Rishus of the Baalim. Where is it not in the Rishus? You took it out of the Rishus of the Baalim. You took it into the street, right? So, you see, even from the Rishus of the Rabbi, it doesn't say you have to take it somewhere else. It says you have to take it out of the Rishus of the Baalim. Fine. So I walked into the street. Now it's not in the Rishus of the Baalim. Tell me you're reading the Mishnah. Otherwise, come on, man. That's what the Mishnah says. So that would be, says Ravina, exactly what I'm saying. Geneva is defined in terms of Chiyuv of Onesin. Geneva is defined by taking out Rishus HaBaalim. Don't give me this stuff. Technically speaking, it's in Rishus HaRab. It makes absolutely no difference. Now, Rav Acha, he takes a look at the Mishnah. He says, wait a minute, It's according to you, the Mishnah is Soser itself, because the end of the Mishnah says that if he actually picked it up, Higbio, Osho Tzio. Now look. If you put the Hotza'ah Mirushut HaBaalim together with the word Higbio, you're not talking about simply removing it from his Rishus into Rishus HaRabim. Otherwise, what are we talking about Higbio for at all? I mean, you're comparing Higbio to the Hotzio. So Hagba'ah, everybody agrees Hagba'ah is a true Kenyan, normal Kenyan of Hagba'ah, which works in Rishus HaBaalim. So then Hotza'ah would have to be the same thing. Hotza'ah means I took it into my own Rishus, not simply that I removed it. By physically putting in Rishus HaRabim. Okay, so, I mean, listen, bottom line, the Mishnah is mashma like both of them. I mean, so the other one's going to have to explain it. So Rav Acha is going to have a problem with the Reisha. Because, I mean, Ravina shows from the Reisha, Mashiach is kind of Rishus HaRabim, Lagabi Chiyuv Einsin. How does Rav Acha, who denies that, how does he explain the Reisha? The Ravina, Kasha Seifa, because the Seifa does put it together with Hagbah, doesn't it? Listen, it doesn't bother me so much. Reishul Rav Acha lo kasha, because he'll simply say that the meaning of kokama delo atil reshute, it's still reshut baalim. Reshut baalim means not the physical possession of the baalim within the fence of his yard. That's not what it means. It means as long as it hasn't been removed legally from the Rishut of the Baalim. So Mashiach is in Kainet, it's still in the Rishut of the Baalim. That's all the Mishnah means. It's not talking about physical space. And therefore, as long as it didn't come into your Rishus, it's still the Rishus Baalim. Is that true or not? Yes, thank you. Then that's what it means. Seifa is not a problem to Ravina. What? Because you've jumped to the conclusion that since it puts Hagbah together with Hotzah, it has to mean the same thing. Thank you very much. I disagree. It's simply saying there's two ways of doing it. You could either pick it up, or you could take it out into Rishus HaBaalim, as was implied in the Reisha, says Ravina. Therefore, there is no problem.